O wisdom that proceedest from the mouth of the Most High, reaching from end to end mightily and disposing all things sweetly, come and teach us the way of prudence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, the beautiful rose-colored flowers, the poinsettias that spell Christmas is on its way, are gone today. It's our last few days of doing penance. You might say last-minute shopping for the soul and for our Savior. And so we're doing extra kneeling today, and it's really a purple mass, even though it's the mass still of Rejoice Sunday, and that's why I'm still wearing the pink-colored vestments, the rose of joy. 1 week from today, and this is a good reason to be happy, it's Christmas Eve. We clergy say, quoting Dom Guéranger, that Christmas Eve is the day that has no end, because by the time we go to bed, it's not Christmas Eve anymore. Now it's Christmas and our Lord is born, and that's really the only night of the year in which you could stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and still be considered a decent Christian, even though as you get older it's a little bit of a hard sacrifice. But part of Christmas is offering up sacrifices. Now, what does the church do to get us ready these last days? Well, when something very important is coming up, you can be sure we're going to ramp up the prayers. And so today we start a novena, just as we have a novena before Pentecost, because that's a very important feast day as well. And this novena has a curious name. Its name is the Novena of the O's, the O antiphons, actually. You'll be singing one after Mass today. And each day, well, there's seven of them, actually, we sing about something about God, something about the Son of God who's coming to save us. And we always start by singing, oh. You know, there are different accents, children, in different parts of our country still today. But due to television and modern communications, everyone tends to speak sort of a standard American English. But you still hear them. So in the Midwest, starting in Milwaukee and then going all the way across to where Father McKenna has his missions, they have the Milwaukee accent. And one of its most pronounced features, for some reason you notice it more with women than with men, if something surprising has happened, as an expression of surprise, in Milwaukee they'll say, not oh, but oh, like that. They hold it kind of long. Oh! It's the most curious thing. You can't almost help but smile a bit and even want to imitate it. Well, that's what the church is doing these days. She's saying, oh, about Jesus and about God and about the glories of the incarnation. And today it's, oh, wisdom. Wisdom is the second person, the eternal Son of God the Father in the Blessed Trinity. And wisdom is the way in which God the Father acts in dealing with creation. Wisdom, whether it's in the characteristics of God the Son, the one who becomes man for us and is born as baby Jesus just about a week from now, well, is to act mightily and sweetly, mightily with power, because God is God and he can do all things. But when God acts mightily, it's not harsh or scary or mean or frightening, really, because at the same time he acts sweetly. Suaviter, disponens omnia. Instead of a sweet, we say there's an English word meaning suavely. He's a very suave individual. Everything he does kind of works out well and is gentle and sweet. That's how God is. But when God is sweet and gentle with us, baby Jesus, at the same time, he's not weak. No, he's strong because he's God. Those are the two characteristics. And so today we're singing about that. The God who's coming to save us, the baby who's going to be born in about a week, he is the wisdom of God, and he is strong, and yet at the same time, in his dealings with us, he's sweet. And then we always, if we're doing a novena, you want to pray for something, so we put a little prayer in. Teach us the way of prudence. Prudence is a way of applying wisdom, into our lives. Remember the novena for Pentecost. Each year we think about the gifts of the Holy Ghost and how the greatest of these is wisdom. And wisdom is what you get when you're baptized, because the priest puts some salt in your mouth, because salt brings out the flavor of food, remember, and wisdom brings out the flavor of God, how everything he does is right. And we want to have sort of a taste or a feel for it, an appetite for it, an appreciation for it. That's what the gift of wisdom gives us. And so when we do, that's shown by our acting prudently. In other words, you don't just say everything you feel like saying, and you certainly don't do everything you feel like doing, but you stop and you think, oh, remember that? Oh, you say to yourself, what would God want of me now? What's our Lord's way? What about the Blessed Mother and the saints? And then we're imitating our Lord in our daily life. So that's what we're asking for today. These days in the sacred liturgy, there's so much to think about. There's so many beautiful ideas. You could get a headache, like the little flower used to get on a regular basis, I think. So that's why she kept it kind of simple. Well, sometimes when you pray, children, especially at Christmas time, and when the crib is, the beautiful crib will be here, and the altar all decorated once again, sometimes it's enough just to kneel or sit and to say, oh, in wonder and in awe. And if you do that prayerfully, that's a good preparation for Christmas. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Adonai, and leader of the house of Israel, who didst appear to Moses in the fire of the flaming bush, and gavest him the law on Sinai, come and redeem us by thy outstretched arm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The second day of our Christmas novena, children, our second O antiphon, which as usual will make us want to just watch with admiration and say, oh, is the God of the Old Testament. A beautiful word in the Hebrew. I've always liked that name for Almighty God, Adonai, which means the God of the covenant. A covenant is a two-way promise, a bit like a contract, really, that Almighty God was all the time making with his people, except his people would always go and break the covenant, and so the good Lord had to come and do another one until we had the eternal covenant in his blood, which is our redemption, the crucifixion, our salvation. Now, which person of the Blessed Trinity acted in the Old Testament, say, as we sing today in this antiphon, who spoke to God from the burning bush? Who spoke to Moses rather than the burning bush? And who gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai with cloud and majesty and awe? We would tend to think that was God the Father, but we would be wrong. No, it is the Son. Because God the Father does everything through his Son, who is, we saw yesterday, his wisdom. He does all things mightily, but he also does all things gently and sweetly. So the Old Testament God, Adonai, is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Son, the eternal wisdom of the Father. And we're appealing to him today. And then there's that image. Well, he spoke to Moses, God's Son did, through the burning bush. What does that mean, the burning bush? Well, that was a miracle. There was this thorn bush, and it was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. That was a symbol of God, the Son, coming to us how? How he would come when the time was fulfilled through the Blessed Mother. She is the burning bush. She's a virgin. And yet she is truly mother, and she is not consumed. The love of Almighty God for us. Remember how a rose has thorns, because thorns protect the rose. So too, the thorns protect the virginity of Mary, but they also represent the thorns that you and I put on the head of Jesus and around the heart of Mary. So we think today about the burning bush, and we also think about the cloud and majesty and awe of Mount Sinai when Almighty God What did he do on Mount Sinai? He gave the law, the Ten Commandments, that the Jews of old were always breaking. They were never capable of keeping them, because in order for there to be order, there has to be law. That's our Lord, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, in the Old Testament. What's our prayer to him today? Because he's the one who was born of the Virgin Mary. He's the one a week from today who will be born a little baby to save us. That's an awesome thought. You can open your mouth and say, oh, and meditate on that for a good long time. What's our prayer to him today? Come and save us. How? With outstretched arms. How did Moses get the people out of Egypt? He stretched out his arms. Remember the movie? And the waters moved aside. And as long as he had his arms stretched out, God's people were safe to get to the other side, to the promised land, through the Red Sea, which means our Lord's precious blood. And then don't forget Joshua, whose name is Jesus, really. The two Hebrew words are very similar. And how Joshua, as the old gospel song goes, fit the battle of Jericho. How did he do that? How did he get the victory for God's chosen people? He stretched his arms out like that. Remember, then the sun didn't move. He had his arms stretched out like that. And our blessed Savior on the cross, he has his arms stretched out like that, doesn't he? And then there was no sun at all. It was darkness. He saved us with his outstretched arms. And how is a crucifixion present right on this altar today? By the outstretched hands of the priest at the Holy Mass, at the consecration. That's how our Lord's going to save us. So in the old days, the people always tried to save themselves, and they were always a disaster, and they never managed to. So they prayed for a Savior. And that's what our Lord is. Born of the Virgin Mary, our Lord is the true Savior of his people and the ruler of the house of Israel. So we have to pray to him to rule over our house as well. Let's ask our Blessed Mother's help for that. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O root of Jesse, who standest as the ensign of the people, before whom kings shall not open their mouths, to whom the nations shall pray, come and deliver us, tarry now no more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, children, we have an abundance of riches because we have the Golden Mass in a moment. That's what they used to call this Mass. It was the original Mass in which the Gospel of the Annunciation, the Archangel Gabriel telling our Blessed Mother that she was chosen to be the Mother of God, was solemnly sung. And then, of course, after Mass, we continue our Christmas novena of the O antiphons. Each one of them is so, well, it's so deep and so interesting that, well, we want to just say, oh, and think about it for a little bit. A few years ago, I got the idea that I wanted to have something or another in my garden, some sort of a perennial. And I think it was Lily of the Valley, but I'm not sure. And I remember Eldon, who used to be the man who would do things like that for us here, well, Eldon ordered some plants from the nursery. And so they arrived in the mail, and much to my surprise, they didn't look like plants at all. It was just a little piece of brown root. But that's all you needed. If you follow the instructions, always a good idea. If you follow the instructions, then if all goes well, the root takes root, and then it grows, and then there's green leaves, and pretty soon you get a flower. That's the story of our Lord. It goes even beyond the Archangel Gabriel and our Blessed Lady and her Immaculate Conception. It goes to the Father of King David, because remember, our Lord is the King of Kings, so he's descended from the King of the House of Israel. And in the old days, you'd always think of people in terms of who's your father. So his father is Jesse. He wasn't a king, but David was the first king of that line. And so it goes all the way back there. He's the root of Jesse. He is just a little tiny root, a little tiny piece of something in the ground, sort of woody, you know. But then it grows up to be, in this case, a great huge tree. And what kind of a tree is it? It's the tree of Calvary. It's the tree of the cross, which the antiphon says is going to be the ensign. That means a symbol or like a flag or sign for all the people. The cross. Everybody knows in the whole world what the cross stands for. It stands for Christianity, the church, our blessed Savior and King, Jesus Christ. And it's a cross. That's how our Lord redeemed us. We all gather around the cross. Sometimes, like today, there's hardly anybody to gather around the cross, and it's just like that little piece of root I got in the mail. You think to yourself, that's awful small. That's not going to do anything, but never mind. The lesson of today is, in God's good time, just as our Lord began as a little tiny baby in Mary's heart, and then 9 months later was born, just how you began too. 9 months later, you were born. We have small, small beginnings, but then it gets larger and larger, all in God's good time and by his gracious plan. And it's so wonderful that today the antiphon says the kings are going to shut their mouths. You know how in the South, I don't know if they still do that, but you have the impression that people in the South would say when they're surprised, well, shut my mouth. Well, that's a little bit the idea today. When we see the beauty of God's plan, how from so little comes something so great, that all we could do is be quiet. And today the antiphon says the kings, which means those who have power and who usually don't want to follow God's law or God's ways, but even they have to be quiet before our Lord, because he's full of wisdom and power and might. And all they can do is the same as for us, to fall silent. And then the nations, that would be the Gentiles, they're going to pray to our Lord, it says, not just his people of Israel, but the whole world is going to invoke and pray to our Lord and say, come, come and save us. And don't delay, don't wait anymore. That's the idea that it's not even a week now till Christmas. And our Lord at Christmas promises to come and save us. And when we think of all these wonderful things, well, it makes us just open our mouth and to say, oh, God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O key of David, and scepter of the house of Israel, who openest and no man shutteth, who shuttest and no man openeth, come and lead the captive from prison, sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the vigil of St. Thomas. The Church prepares us for the feast day of this great apostle of faith and of adoration, apostle of the Americas, by a vigil mass. After mass, we continue our Christmas novena, singing the Vesper antiphon from the Magnificat, called the O antiphons, and today we have the O Clavis David, or the O King of David. Excuse me, O Key of David. The key belongs to the king. He doesn't usually carry a key around with him. He's got somebody in charge of that for him. We shall see who that is in a moment. But if you have the key, that means you have the power. You can get in, and you can keep people or enemies or things out. He is the key of David. In other words, he has all of the power of the monarchy that our Lord set up, going back to King David of his chosen people, Israel, but he is the king forever. We say key sometimes too to mean understanding. In other words, that's the key to understanding this passage. If you understand this idea, you'll understand what the author is saying. Our Lord is the key for understanding everything in the book we call the Bible. All of the prophecies and all of the stories, they're all fulfilled in Christ. Our Lord, he has the key. He has the power. Not the kings of the earth. Remember, yesterday we saw that when our Lord comes, the kings of the earth have to shut their mouth. They have nothing to say. They have nothing. And today, we're saying that our Lord is the one who shuts, and he's also the one who opens. And everything he does in a David spirit, because in the Bible, David stands for meekness and gentleness, because not always, but very often, he was only a man after all, but very often he did forgive his enemies, and he always tried to obey Almighty God and not to hold grudges and things. That's a little bit, just a little tiny bit, of the wonderful mercy of our Lord. Even when our Lord shuts, you have to remember he's doing it out of goodness and mercy. For example, when the original sin was committed, and God, that was God the Son, the same God the Son who becomes man for us, when God the Son sent the angel to guard the gates of the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Paradise, and to shut the gates of heaven as well, that was a mercy on the part of our Lord after original sin was committed, because man in his sinful state couldn't bear to look upon the holiness of Almighty God. It hurt his eyes. Couldn't bear it. That's why Adam and Eve hid themselves in the garden when God was walking in the garden in the coolness of the afternoon. They couldn't bear it. And not until they were purified. Our Lord has the key. He can purify us. He can open up the gates of our own goodness and God's goodness. How does he do that? By his precious blood. That's how he does it. By his death on the cross. And that's why he's being born. That's why he's coming. He's got the key. He has the power of the key. And so today we're praying in this antiphon for everybody who's sitting in darkness, the shadow of death, or in prison. That means ignorance, sin, original sin, actual sin, mortal sin, venial sin, all of our faults, the people that don't even know about our Lord, the people that today have pretty miserable lives. We're asking our Lord to come and to open up the gate of faith to them, and eventually the gates of heaven to them by his precious blood. The other symbol of power which our Lord holds is the scepter. A scepter is, well, it looks like a wand, is about this high, and it's a sign of royal power going back to ancient times. It's still today for the House of Parliament in England. There's a scepter called a mace that's a representative of the king's or the queen's power. And I think even Congress has a sort of a mace too, and I'm not sure exactly how that works out, but it's a sign of having power to do what you're doing. The key and the scepter we're singing about today, where are they? Can anyone find them where they are in church today? It's amazing how sometimes people don't have curiosity. It kills me. Because there's all these nice shrines and statues, and like the stained glass windows in the Middle Ages, each one has a story. So sometimes, for praying or making a visit, it's an excellent thing just to look, and then having looked with wonder, oh, you maybe pray. Could you find the scepter? Could you find the key in church today? Where is it? He gave it to his mother. She has it. Our Lady of Consolation. Her statue has this key, and her statue has the scepter. He gave it to his mother. She has all the power now. He gives it all to mom. And he knows that he can trust her to take care of everything well. So what's going to be the shortest path to Christmas? What's going to be the shortest path to get back into heaven? To remove the pain of sin that really does hurt us more than anything else? Go to mom. Go to mother. Go to Our Lady, the Mother of Consolation. That's where you'll find it. Look for her. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's saint is the Apostle, St. Thomas. And he went, as we sing in the O Antiphon after Mass today, he went to the Orient. He went to the East, to the land of the rising sun, to preach Jesus Christ. He didn't want to go, but our Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him to go, and go he did. and there he won his martyr's crown. But at some other occasion, he went as far as America, they say. He went to North America, way up in Alaska, and then he was in Mexico and Central America, quite active, and in South America, too. The Indians say he came to them walking on the ocean, and he left crosses and other remnants behind him. And he said that one day the missionaries would come and preach Jesus Christ to them, and so they did. Today's last gospel is the Ember Friday. It's a little day of penance, too, not to forget. And in the Ember Friday Mass, we have the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she's going someplace, too. She's intrepid. She's brave. Here she's just about 14, and she's going to have a baby. And she goes off on about a 100-mile trip because the angel said, almost as a, by the way, oh, by the way, the angel said, and your cousin Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a child. And she realizes, because you see, if you're attuned to God, God doesn't always have to spell it out for you. She gets the picture. I should go and help her out. And I should bring our Lord with me, because our Lord is now in her heart. And go she does. She doesn't go to the east. The east for us as Catholics is symbolic. So our altar, for example, doesn't face east. Easter would be that away. That's where the rising sun is. But we call it liturgical east. It symbolizes east, the altar and the crucifix. So Our Lady actually goes south. It's about a five-day journey, I think. If you're going by foot, you can make about 20 miles a day. But she may have been in a caravan and ridden sort of like a horse, a carriage of some kind, or with donkeys, maybe. And that would have been maybe a three-day trip. In any case, off she goes, so brave, so obedient, and so ready to carry out our Lord's command. Everybody's traveling someplace today. Meanwhile, the sun is traveling too, of course, and the sun is at its low point for us here in the Northern Hemisphere, and we call today the winter solstice because it's the longest night of the year. And as you see by the weather outdoors, it's dark and it's wet. And here we have the shortest day. But we're looking forward to our Lord, who is the splendor of eternal light. That's one of the titles of the Son of God in sacred scripture. He is the sunrise, the rising sun. And at Christmas, our Lord will shine upon us once again. Who are we praying for, especially in our Advent novena? We're praying for everybody that sits in darkness and in the shadow of death. Well, that would be us, of course, because whenever we commit a sin, whenever we don't know what we should know or do what we should do, we're not following our Lord. We're going the wrong direction. We got lost. But we need our Lord's light to see the way. And so we pray for our Lord to give us his light, not only to us, but also to all the pagans throughout the world. That's almost everywhere and almost everybody. And then the Jews, too, and heretics. And also, it's St. Thomas's Day, and he has the reputation, not entirely deserved, of being the doubter. He was very brave, Thomas was. Don't get that wrong. He was enthusiastic. He wasn't really a skeptic. It was just that he loved our Lord so much. Like the others, he would have a hard time through his tears believing that our Lord was still with them. And he really wanted to see our Lord. But he never dared to do what our Lord tells him to do in today's gospel. Thomas? Thomas knows he's in trouble. Thomas, come here. Take your hand. Take your finger, put it in my wound. Take your hand, put it in my open side. And then Thomas really starts crying now, and he kneels down, falls on his knees, as we sing at one of those nice Christmas carols for the midnight mass, fall on your knees. And he cries out, my Lord and my God. And that's why we should say that prayer at every consecration. most devoutly. We should look up, and you can make the sign of the cross if you'd like to. I do. I think it's a nice thing to do because it sort of ties everything together. But in any case, you must look up and say the indulgence prayer, my Lord and my God. And then our Lord says to him, sort of gently correcting him, well, he says, Thomas, you saw me, and now you believe, but blessed are those, he's thinking of you and me, who haven't seen, but who do believe. So you might say, this is our addition to Advent, to get the whole picture, to get ready for Christ's coming. Believing. Well, that takes us back to the last gospel, because Elizabeth, when she sees the Blessed Virgin Mary, she salutes her as the mother of my Lord, and then she says, and blessed art thou, what? Who hast believed. Our Blessed Mother's blessing is that she has believed what the angel told her. No doubt, no questioning, like Thomas or St. Zachary, John the Baptist's dad. He didn't believe. He just had a lot of objections and a lot of problems, as people will, when you tell them what God's holy will is or what our truths are in the Catholic faith. No, she just believes, and she carries Christ to John the Baptist's home, and the baby Jesus sanctifies the baby John in his womb, and the baby John in his mother's womb jumps for joy. He recognizes the voice of his Savior and his God. So you see, there's a lot going on in today's Mass. Let's try to sing this last Mass of our school year, right? Because when you come back, it will be a new year, just as devoutly as we can. We're all going someplace, children. You're going home for your holiday. That's great. But be sure that you, regardless of where you go tomorrow, that you're following the right directions to Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.